This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Govert Schilling, and his wonderful new book is A Search for Something That We Haven't Found. But the search continues. And one of the ways to search is, well, if it's not small, what if it's massive? What if it's massive, complex, halo object, macho? What if gravitational lensing can give us a result that we haven't been able to find because we were looking for something small? As far as I can see right now, there are teams who exhausted themselves in the late 20th century. Has macho now been retired, or is...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's a very nice story because it's a very neat story to explain how science works. Back in the 1980s, everybody thought dark matter must be this non-baryonic, cold dark matter, weakly interacting massive particle. And that's where the physicists started to work on. And they had all these theories and they tried to look for it. But then in science, you always have to think, yes, but what if? What if dark matter is actually something else? Or what if dark matter might be these wimp particles, but there might be other types of dark matter too? We can't exclude it. So we need to look for other types of dark matter too. You need to be sure that some other explanation cannot be the whole or part of the truth. So what they started to do was looking through this gravitational lensing at the existence of dark, massive objects in the outer parts of galaxies. And the only way you can do that is by looking at the way such a dark, invisible object would bend and amplify the light of an individual star. And it's a very rare event. So if you want to be successful in that, you have to study hundreds of millions of stars. And you have to use electronic detectors and big telescopes and computer algorithms to study all these measurement data. And that's what two teams in the 1990s started to do. And they spent a lot of effort in it. It was a big race. And in the end, they had to admit, well, we did not find these massive compact halo objects. Probably they don't exist. And it's not that their search had been for nothing, because it was very important, because they could exclude this remote possibility. And that's the way science should be done. You shouldn't be only following the mainstream. You always have to check, what if this is true also? What if the truth might be hidden somewhere else? And you have to check that, all of that. And if you don't find it, it's still a very good and important result. And that was the macho story.
Just in case you thought this was getting too simple, we now take you to dark energy. Govert, this is wonderful. The universe is accelerating. It's expanding, and it's accelerating. At some point, it's accelerated. And in searching for dark matter, the cosmologists find dark energy, when I got to this chapter, I thought, oh, great, I haven't found dark matter. Now I've got to go look for dark energy. But as I understand it, they reason to this because the expansion was slower in the past. They've witnessed that. Is that correct, Govert? They can document it.
That's true. In 1998, there was this revolutionary breakthrough in cosmology that two competing teams with different techniques and different instruments, they arrived at the same unexpected result. And that was that the expansion of the universe is not slowing down with time, as everybody had expected, because gravity would slow the expansion down. No, the expansion is speeding up. So we live in an accelerating universe. And the only way to explain that is to assume that there is some mysterious mysterious vacuum energy in empty space. And that's what we call dark energy. But we gave it a name, which doesn't mean that we know what it is. So today's cosmology is extremely successful in explaining everything in the universe and how it came from the smooth universe back then to the clumpy, accelerating universe that we witness now. But the only way they can explain it is by assuming there are huge amounts of mysterious dark energy, and also very large amounts of mysterious dark matter. And we don't know what dark energy is. We don't know what dark matter is. So most of the universe that we can explain is still a big question mark. And that's a little bit, uncomforting, I should say.
Yes, but you have a chapter, The Pie in the Sky. We're going to picture now what, with dark energy and dark matter and baryonic universe, that's us, talking, what the what we believe is everything now. Us is 4.9% of everything, which isn't quite, it used to be 5%. We got demoted. Uh-huh. And dark matter is 26.6% of everything. And that means dark energy wins. Dark energy, 68.5% is my note here. Dark energy is the explanation for dark matter, but we still don't know what it is.
Dark energy is the most important factor in our current universe. I have here this empty water bottle, and it's fun to realize that if this is half a liter, and I don't know if everybody is watching this, but otherwise, if you're just listening, you can imagine that only the bottom part of it, just a tiny bit of water on the bottom, is the matter that we know of in the universe. That's the baryonic matter. That's atoms and molecules. And then about one quarter of the bottle is mysterious dark matter. But the majority, three quarters of this empty bottle is dark energy. We don't know what it is, but it's governing the evolution of the universe right now.
And in governing the universe, we've now come this far because we started to look for something that wasn't there. That's how we got to this place, searching for dark matter. But we need to introduce one more thing before we turn the page to the experiments that are ongoing. Einstein came up with the cosmological constant, which is signified by the Greek letter lambda. And later on, he said it was the worst mistake he ever made. We need the cosmological constant. Is that correct?
That's right, because the cosmological constant that Einstein once introduced was, in effect, an accelerating force in empty space. And back then, he thought maybe I should never have introduced it because, later cosmological observations, they seem to indicate that it was not necessary. But now we are discovering that the universe is accelerating, that the expansion is speeding up, and the dark energy might be Einstein's cosmological constant. Right. So in a sense, it was foreseen by this genius Albert Einstein a century ago.
The book is Govert Schilling's Elephant in the Universe, 100 Years Search for Dark Matter. This is John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.